Hi, this is Delilah S. Dawson and her current cold virus, and you are listening to What a Piece of Junk podcast.
Hello, Space Junkies, and welcome to What a Piece of Junk, the Star Wars podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. I am your amiable host, Scott Bultman, and this episode I am joined by not only my usual esteemed co-hosts, but Fandom Podcast Network co-founder, the Admiral himself, Mr. Kyle. Kyle, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. I just checked my latest Hammerhead Corvette into dry dock. It needs a little work after my last excursion, but that's what those are for, right?
Precisely. That's your run around the galaxy getting into trouble vessel, right?
Exactly. It does have a beautiful cape closet, though, I must say.
Yes, which is the key component, as long as you're checking in with my other esteemed co-host, Mr. Derek Marsh. Derek, you're a big fan of the cape closet, right?
Well, of course, but mine's usually full of hoodies.
That's right. That's why we call you the hoodie. DM. Derek, how's it going for you out there?
Doing good. It's a late Sunday evening, but ready to talk some Star Wars with you gents, and it's great to see you, Kyle.
Yeah, it is good to see everybody here, but is somebody missing? Is he shedding again? Guys,
he is shedding him again. On the ship. Actually, he got a little wet, and nothing is worse than wet looking for. Nathan, how's it going?
Sorry, I'm a little bit late. There was a Hammerhead Corvette double parked out back.
Don't worry about it. I got clearance. Scott, I brought that Febreze that you asked for.
Good, good. Totally unrelated to you, Nathan. Totally unrelated to you.
What? I don't know what we're talking about. Anyway.
Yeah, well, Nathan's really excited for this episode because we're doing a special little miniature episode or bonus episode, if you will, that we will also record tonight and put up on the feed, where we talk about a particular musical moment across Star Wars lore. Nathan, why are we doing this bonus episode?
Well, we're doing this bonus episode for a YouTube channel called Nando V Movies. Now, I will say he didn't ask us to do this. He did ask several YouTubers, but he did offer that anybody who wanted to join in could make a video where we talk about a particular scene and the music behind that scene in whatever work of fiction that we wanted to talk about. And of course, we want to talk about Star Wars. We always want to talk about Star Wars. Yeah. So we're going to be making that episode. It's a bonus episode. We'll be submitting it to Nando V Movies to add to the playlist. So we highly encourage you to go check that out. There's a whole lot of other content creators who have created their own versions of one musical scene. So check those out as well. But you know, make sure to give us a thumbs up, a like, subscribe to all the channels that you want to. It'll be great.
Yay, content creation.
Are you sure that you are going to be talking about the importance of Life Day music, right?
Well, yeah, the Star Wars holiday.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
he is the Wookiee, so yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
we know which scene we're bringing up, and life may not play much of a role there.
Wait, so. you're saying no B. Arthur? Is that what you're telling me?
No B. Arthur.
And surprisingly, no Carrie Fisher singing the Life Day anthem. So,
Well, you got to go there, Scott. Wow.
but to find out what scene we actually are going to talk about, please go check out our bonus one musical scene episode.
Yeah, cool. So we'll put the link on the Facebook page when we get it.
Yep. And of course, it will be in the overall FPN feed. And speaking of overall FPN stuff, before we jump into all that, we will have as the main chunk of this episode, Kyle is going to talk to us about a cool Star Wars experience that he had this weekend where he got to go see Rogue One in IMAX. But not only that, he also got to see some cool pre-release looks at Star Wars Andor, which is coming up in September. So stay tuned for that on the back end of this episode.
Big spoiler, everybody dies.
What? He did. They all did.
Oh, man. I remember when we first saw it in the theaters, and there were a couple girls behind us who started to realize that everyone was going to die. And at one point, they're like, oh, man, they're going to kill Asian Hagrid.
Yes, Asian Hagrid. Yes. Oh, man, I forgot all about that. Good, good callback there, Nathan.
Oh, well. All right, guys. Well, let's jump into some Star Wars news before we get into that. We obviously got some big stuff on the horizon here. We know that D23 is just around the corner. It'll be actually wrapping up two weekends from today of when we're recording it on August 28th. It's obviously the weekend after Labor Day weekend, which will be next weekend. And we're also super excited to talk about that. That's why we got Kyle on the show as well, because he's been really, really wanting to know what we're kind of getting for predictions. So, you know, there's a bunch of stuff out there right now, right? You know, there's on the direct comic book, CBR, all them on the interwebs have a bunch of predictions. But the one we have right now that we're talking about is from thedirect.com. So they're obviously anticipating five big topics that are coming out. They're obviously going to talk about more Andor. And we did get officially that there is going to be a season two for Andor, which is pretty big news, right, guys? We know we had kind of talked a little bit about the interview that was done earlier this year from Skarsgård, but we thought maybe it might have been a mistranslation, right? He was just meaning it'll be split up into two parts. But no, they're actually going to get a green light for season two, which is going to be start filming in November this year. So that's really interesting, which has me even more super excited, because we initially thought the rumor was going to be that Andor would this season would just end after the 12 episodes would be leading right into Rogue One, but doesn't look like just yet it's going to do that. So, you know, what are you guys anticipating rumors from Andor?
Well, Kyle gets to sort of cheat on that because he knows something.
Well, he knows like 10 minutes of an episode.
Oh, no, there's a little more than that that happened besides this little 10-minute preview. They had actually had an interview with Diego Luna and Tony Gilroy before the movie as well. So I'll get into that when we get into that. But as far as Andor goes, I wasn't surprised for a season two announcement, because there were some rumors they were actually shooting footage for season two while they were still filming season one. And just from what little I know, it was always intended for it to be two seasons, and that they're covering a 5-year. Basically, they're covering most of that. Most of the series will be about a 5-year span leading into Rogue One.
Kyle, cool. Do you think that there's a chance that at D23, the Andor portion of it will be them showing the thing that you saw at the theater?
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, but really, what I'm most excited about is I already know what one of the big D23. Announcements is, it's the fact that the next Star Wars movies will actually be phase 7 of the MCU.
Corporate synergy of doom.
Well, we know Star Wars is part of the MCU universe because, you know, Tom Holland, Peter Parker references it like 20 times, right? Yeah. But so is also the Alien franchise. So who knows what type of crazy crossover we're going to have.
I don't know. We might even see E.T.
You know what's funny about Tom Holland's reference to Alien and whatnot? Later on that year, or maybe the year after that, Disney acquired the rights to Aliens. So it's like anything Spider-Man talks about, Disney has to own.
Well, he is terrible at including spoilers, so maybe
that is true. Wow. Wow.
Or maybe
so not only is psychic. Tom Holland terrible about giving spoilers, Spider-Man is terrible about giving spoilers.
Oh, exactly.
Art imitates life, imitates art.
Well, to be fair, who wrote that scene? We need to know who actually wrote that scene. Was it Kevin Feige? Because that scene, he would have known.
The reason that Spider-Man tends to give spoilers is he forgets that his spider sense has told him information early.
Yeah. So he doesn't
realize they're spoilers. He thinks everybody knows. To him,
that's all just regular run-of-the-mill info.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy. So, all right, well, let's jump into the next one, because otherwise we'll have to cross over into another stream of the FPN networks on the True Believers. But that'll be for another night. Yeah. So the next prediction they're talking about is Bad Batch Season 2. And so we know at this point they've delayed it longer. It is going to be not just Q3, but probably Q4 of this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are your guys's, you know, initial reactions to thinking about what we'll see for Bad Batch season two? I mean, obviously, we'll probably have a whole section on it once it goes live and we'll have multiple episodes coverage. But, you know, what are your guys' thoughts on the delay of Bad Batch season two?
I think it's just delayed not because there's any sort of production problem or this or that behind the scenes drama. It's just to space out, you know, subscriber numbers, because we know that Disney Plus is way more about getting people to stay subscribed instead of subscribing to watch everything in one big dump like they do on some other streaming platforms. And, you know, there was a headline at CNN the other day that said the streaming wars are over. And that is, all of the streaming services out there now have come to realize that they've reached critical mass on who's going to be subscribers. So they're stopping all of these crazy, we need to get you to sign up type of deals. Prices for streaming services are going to start to go up, and they're going to start doing things to try and maintain or retain subscribers in the long haul.
Yeah. In fact, Disney Plus is going up here by, right. Well, I think it's $10.99 here shortly. And there's actually a very interesting podcast. I mean, Kevin and I have talked about it on Culture Clash. It's called The Town, and it's a Hollywood behind the scenes, and they did a whole episode on this with the streaming wars and the plateaus that are being reached and what's happening. And they specifically talk a lot about Disney Plus. I highly suggest checking that out if you want a little bit more behind the scenes as far as streaming goes. But as far as the Bad Batch too, one of the things that Disney has really realized they want to make a concerted effort at is they don't want to have Marvel and Star Wars shows overlapping too much.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why She-Hulk and with Andor getting pushed back, and the move to Marvel shows to Thursdays now, while Star Wars shows will remain on Wednesdays, because they don't want to have this competition between their own two things. And I think, too, the other aspect of it is I think they were probably planning to have Mandalorian season three start around Christmas time, but I think they're going to end up pushing that back till after the first of the year, and they need Bad Batch to fill that hole throughout. So my guess is, we will see Bad Batch probably premiere around Thanksgiving time, and then wrap
right up, after She-Hulk ends.
Yeah, after She-Hulk ends, and then have it run through the probably till either right before Christmas or right after New Year's, and then the Mandalorian season three will start, because really Marvel won't have anything on the schedule after She-Hulk ends until Ant-Man and the Wasp is Quantumania comes out in February.
Yeah, and Kyle, also, that's concerted effort to maintain subscribers. A conceited effort is what Kevin Reitzel does when he brags on social media about how many movies he goes to see.
Well, I mean, I feel like this is often conceited as well.
Oh, well, no.
You know, but it's Disney. We might say it is a conceited effort.
Yeah.
But, I'm just kidding. I love you, Kevin. I couldn't resist the dig.
For me, the thing that concerns me here is that we've already seen the Bad Batch get postponed. We thought we were going to see this earlier this year. And the fact that they are so willing to keep postponing it tells me that Disney doesn't care that much about the Bad Batch. It's just a show that they can throw in to fill up a gap whenever they've got one in the schedule.
Well,
unfortunately, I think they feel that way too much about all of Star Wars animation. They don't prioritize it. But
well, it's proven that it doesn't have the appeal that the live action does.
I mean, it doesn't.
It's the same thing. I mean, let's think about the MCU stuff with What If. There was a lot of people that just didn't care for that because it was cartoon. Yeah. So, I mean, it did catch a few people, which I think also Star Wars Visions got a few people that didn't consider it, as well as Bad Batch, you know, in Clone Wars season 7, just because they're like, oh, I'll check it out. But at the end of the day, people just aren't interested in cartoons because it's a kid's thing is what everybody wants to label it.
Yeah, that there's is the mentality, even though it's not true.
But I think there's another reason for that, too. And it's something we're seeing in Hollywood right now that's really starting to affect the industry. The VFX houses are so overworked right now and so stretched so thin. They are running behind on projects. And I think it's easier to move an animation project because that's done, that's in the can. You're not dealing with reshoots, things like that. So it's easier for them to adjust that than it is a live action project as well.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, the labor shortage in the post-pandemic world has come for Hollywood as well. It's kind of crazy to think about, but it's true.
And to think about, I mean, obviously, we, you know, Kyle's talked about on the True Believers, all the crazy announcements they announced for end of phase 4, phase 5 of MCU. Like I said, to them, Star Wars is an afterthought, to be honest, at this point, because they've juggled it so poorly. Obviously, there's still the rest of us that are enjoying the content, but there's nothing compared to what they're doing with the MCU and content compared, you know, for Star Wars right now.
Although I finally got the chance this past weekend to go see Top Gun Maverick. I know I'm way, way behind. You guys,
I haven't still seen it, so you're okay.
It's awesome.
Okay.
This is amazing.
It's really,
good. I also have a 3-year-old, so I never
get it. It is very, very old school filmmaking, and it has now surpassed. Help me out, Kyle.
Infinity War.
It has surpassed Infinity War on total sales. I would not be surprised if next year the movie version of the comic book universe begins to see a crash like the comic book market did in the late 1990s, i.e., the bottom's going to drop out when it comes to the audience's appetites for superhero movies. And I think, once again, just like back in the 1990s, the company that's going to suffer the most is DC, because they're really ramping up and putting a bunch of effort into their movies, and people are going to be all like, eh, I'm kind of tired of superheroes. And so stuff is going to start bombing, you know.
They're ramping up when they're moving all their movies back.
Or they're canceling them straight up and just taking the loss. Yeah. So.
Well, let's see.
Well, only one of them so far. Yeah.
Which they should have done several others at this point.
only one so far.
That's true. Shazam, so far.
Shazam just got pushed back to March. Aquaman 2 is now next Christmas. I'm there, and we still don't know what's going on with Ezra Miller as he's begging to say, send me wherever I need to get help so my movie comes out so I can make money.
Yeah. So, but anyway,
it's sad but true.
So my point there was, more realistic cinema might become the trend, like Top Gun Maverick. Although calling that realistic is a bit of a stretch, but you know, definitely not a superhero movie. And I would not be surprised if, therefore, we're going to see a renewed interest from Disney corporate in Star Wars, because that's a different tone than a superhero movie. And then I'm hoping that's a good sign for upcoming science fiction movies like the next Star Trek film.
Or Dune 2.
Or Dune 2, baby. Dune 2.
Except the next Star Trek film is off the boards because the director of that's leaving to go direct
Fantastic Well, it's still pushing War. Forward, they said, but yeah. So, but the only bad part, though, is that if they do that, Scott, Star Wars has to leave the original trilogy. They have to go beyond
it's time.
That at
this point. We're
I agree. And they need to just, I mean, we finished the Skywalker saga. They have to do something else. Either go super far into the future or super far into the future. Just give us something different. Because that's the only way you're going to bring in new fans at this point.
And I think at this point, Rogue Squadron is going to be reworked to be post new, you know, in the New Republic. I think that's what's going to happen.
I agree.
Yeah, but even that's not what we need.
Yeah, we need more of what we got in Visions with, you know, this is 900 years later. And, you know, Luke Skywalker and Yoda, those are all like almost distant myth memories. And legend because they're such distant memories. Like the First Order, barely remember them. Empire, that was a few years, several centuries ago.
But that's a whole other show at this point.
Yes.
But speaking, but still in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Speaking of Star Wars epochs that are in other points in time, Disney might also be talking about at D23 Tales of the Jedi, which is some more Star Wars animation. Derek, let's get back. I'll get us back on topic, Derek.
No, you were thinking the same thing I was, Scott. I'm like, oh, Kyle, and then we just got right to the perfect segue, right? So obviously, all we care about at this point is that we're going to have Qui-Gon Jinn and Liam Neeson voicing him again. That's all I care about, and that's, you know, the only episode I want. You guys can talk about the rest.
but that's the episode I want most too.
I do have one question about Star Wars animation I haven't had a chance to ask you guys, since I'm sure, you know, I only appear. Star Wars Visions season 2 is coming. We know this. They've announced this, but it's not going to be in an anime style. It's from other places around the world.
I'm okay with that.
I was curious what you guys think with this, because I was really hoping I really hope somehow they still plan to revisit at least a couple of the shorts that they did.
Well, we know that the Ninth Jedi are going to be an actual mini series from what I thought was given. I mean, at least what they said that they were planning with that one, right? Because that was the most popular, most well received. That was my favorite. I think yours was that one too, Scott.
Yes.
And so I think they said that they were going to give them the opportunity to make that a mini series. But to your point, if that's what it is, Kyle, I mean, that to me is awesome. I'm all about other types of form of, and they either do it where it's, you know, one country and they'll do multiple episodes for one country each season, or this one will just be a mixture of it, because obviously, you know, American industry and Japanese industry of animations, the two biggest.
Well, no, my understanding, it's several different countries in this next season of Vegas.
Cool.
So,
which I think is great, because the whole point is this is a lot of different visions of what Star Wars could be. So yeah, it's great to get not just, if we just get anime, it's not visions, it's a vision.
Yeah.
So I want to see more. Yeah. I think it's great.
So that'd be great if we get some of that at the D20 as well. So, all right. Anything else from Tales of the Jedi, gentlemen?
I'm interested to see animated Count Dooku again. I think he's cool. So I'm glad they're bringing him back.
Yes.
I'm interested to what they're going to do with Ahsoka, because it sounds like they're going to tie this in somehow to the Ahsoka live action show a little bit as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that almost makes me less excited about those in a weird sort of way, because of what we just talked about with Star Wars needs to kind of get away from the Skywalker saga, and this is tying a bit of prequel era stuff into a bit of just after the original trilogy stuff. I'm more excited about the Dooku episodes, because that's completely prequel era stuff.
Well, and it's not, I mean, he was a major villain in the Clone Wars, but you didn't have too many episodes of just him, right? I mean, Ahsoka, right, we've gotten multiple single episodes in the Clone Wars. Let's be honest, Clone Wars Season 7 was all about Ahsoka, and we've had her guest star in other things with Rebels and the Mando. Now she's getting her own series. To your point, Nathan, I agree. I think get everything that's obscure. Just get us everything we don't know. Stuff, I don't care if it's taken from the comics even, you know, that have done. That's great. But just give us the one-off characters that you don't know anything about. Make us care about them, because then that makes that much more when they show up in Clone Wars or in the Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith, mean that much more to us, right?
Right. I love Ahsoka, but I already love Ahsoka. I don't need more episodes to make me fall even more in love with Ahsoka.
As long as Ashley's voicing it, though, we're okay, right?
So. Well, yeah, that's the main thing.
Well, speaking of Ahsoka, D23 also might have some sneak peek or, you know, announcement regarding the live-action Ahsoka show.
I'm expecting a trailer. I am honestly expecting some kind of short trailer, even if it's just a 30-second thing. But there's going to be some kind of, at least a teaser trailer of Ahsoka at D23.
Did they finish filming it, guys? I thought
they're still filming it, but yes. Filoni has said that there is footage done and it's spectacular.
Yeah. Good.
Cool.
Well, obviously, and he's hyping up, you know, everything about it. You know, even, you know, the actress, you know, who portrays Sabine, right? You know, with Bordizio as the main cast for that. You know, he's been really hyping up. So I'm super excited, because if Filoni's excited about something, I mean, granted, yes, I understand he is the creator and he's the, you know, basically the godfather of Star Wars. Well, I guess not really the godfather. He's the Michael Corleone after the godfather to carry us on. So, but, you know, really, you know, that has me excited that if he's like, whoa, this girl's really nailed the character that I created, then that's got me hyped.
So wait, yeah. if he's the Corleone, does that make John Favreau the Fredo?
No, because he's not related. He would be, who would he be? Because he wouldn't be a brother, right? He would be who? Come on, guys, you know the Scott. Who's
he's the friends of Michael Corleone. You called out Scott there, because yeah, he knows you're not gonna. That I'm sitting here going, like, you mean like Dom DeLuise?
I got a hungry for cannolis.
Sorry, I got cotton balls in my mouth.
Yeah. Anyways. He's the lawyer dude. Help me out here. Who is their lawyer? That guy.
Okay, either way.
We got too much off the rails here.
Yeah.
We're way off the rails.
Last one from this particular piece of news article here, a real dark horse call. There may be some teaser or at least just information about Star Wars The Acolyte series for Disney Plus that gets mentioned at D23. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's too far out for them to mention it this year. I don't know. Maybe Kyle, what do you think?
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I could see where they announced maybe some more casting or some of the directors, maybe that's where I could see them going. But I think that's Acolytes, maybe Christmas fall of next year of 23, right. Maybe not even to 24.
It's going to be
interesting, but I do have one thing I want to ask you guys. Will there be any Star Wars movie news?
I say no. It's too early.
No, the biggest thing that the direct didn't cover here is it's Mando season 3. That's what everybody wants.
Yeah. Let me ask you this then, because I'm of the theory at this point we will not see a Star Wars movie until 2024.
At least, I
think it might be even later than that.
Yeah, because Rogue One was going to be 2023, wasn't it?
Rogue Squadron.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Rogue Squadron was going to be 2023 when they announced that a year and a half ago.
Right.
So they had 3.5 years to talk about it. So at this point, I'd expect, even if they do, they'll probably save that for next year, Kyle, make a big announcement, and then that'll be in 2025.
That's what I'm thinking, because they haven't even started filming anything yet.
I don't even know,
if I can be perfectly frank, I think part of the reason for that is The Mandalorian. It took off like gangbusters on Disney Plus, and Disney realized we don't necessarily need to make movies. We can make a profit on Star Wars making television shows that we put on our streaming service. So it's not that they don't want to make Star Wars movies, but they're not that motivated.
There is no economic imperative for motion pictures anymore.
I have thoughts about that I'm going to get to after experiencing my rewatch of Rogue One on IMAX.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, speaking of Rogue One, the big news for that is that it is now in the top 10 of IMAX movies of all time so far, at least at this point, to date, as it has grossed over $105 million in IMAX, specifically IMAX. Because obviously we know it's hit over $1 billion in the movie world, so pretty big. So,
yeah. Well, you know,
go ahead, Scott.
Go ahead. If you want to boost the economics of a particular format, just introduce a Star Wars story to it. That's all I'm going to say about that, because I think about all the Star Wars video games that are record-breaking video games, you know, for monetary profit-wise. And so, therefore, I believe the same thing is true of IMAX. You want to get a big number, a box office record-breaking IMAX, put a Star Wars movie into there, and the fans will come out and support it. I mean, Kyle went to go see it. Kevin went to go see it. I would have gone if I hadn't been so busy with the move and all. Well, but yeah,
I was going to say, Scott, one of the things though is they're running the IMAX till like Wednesday of this week.
Oh,
so they're giving it a full almost week in IMAX theaters. So if you,
I can't believe they didn't give it the holiday weekend though. I mean, there's something else.
No, because there's other things. A theater's not going to tie up a big screen like that, because there's going to be there's something coming out this week.
But that's what I'm asking. What's coming out this week? Because I don't know. That's the thing. Super Pets. Come on.
I believe. September 3rd is like National Movie Day, and all movie theaters are going to charge $3 for movie tickets.
My movie tavern just sent out a thing for that. So,
oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
So, if I could only be doing that, because we'll be running a Star Trek convention tournament. So,
I mean, it might as well be a convention at this point.
So. But that's good stuff. And we'll be excited to hear what Kyle has after the break on that. So, but one more piece of news before we get to the break, guys. This was actually a piece that, Kyle, you actually, tagged Kevin on this, didn't you?
Yes, I did
initially. Yeah. So, this article, for Entertainment, where John Boyega, obviously AKA Finn, has some ideas for how the Rise of Skywalker should have ended. And basically, you know, he kind of talks a bit about some of the things that really about his character and what he could have done to be a little bit bigger role. But a big comment he made was of how they really should have gotten the big three involved with it a bit more and kind of been their main capsule of a story, and the way it was written, instead of what I complained about the issue with all episodes 7, 8, 9, it was just way too many main characters and there wasn't enough time to really flesh out the characters and their conversation pieces and their growth throughout the movies. And so really John talked a bit about that. And obviously, you know, Kevin commented to your post, Kyle, you know, that's the one thing he still feels like that'll be going down as one of the greatest cinematic blunders or mistakes of all time, was not at least not in episode 7 getting our main three cast together. So what did you guys think about the article?
I thought it was a good article. There are several things I agree with Boyega on, but I still, you know, I definitely feel that his portrayal of Finn was spectacular with what they gave him to work with. As you guys recall, and longtime listeners will know from this show, my oldest son, Matthew, Finn is his favorite character from the sequel trilogy, if not his favorite character from all of Star Wars at this point in his life. You know, we all waffle back and forth as to who's your favorite Star Wars character, depending on how you, for me anyway, it's depending on how you feel that day. I agree with him that there could have been a better moment between all three of our original trilogy heroes. But more to the point, I agree with him big time in the quote that he has in, I think it's about the fourth paragraph here, where he says, to a certain extent, there should have been a Stormtrooper rebellion. So I would have loved to have seen him and Naomi Ackie's character do their, you know, we had that scene on Kef Beer where they realized they're both ex-First Order Stormtroopers. And they both felt the pull of the light side to come away from that and rebel. I would have loved to have seen in the final battle on Exegol, if the white clad First Order troopers, a lot of them had turned on all the red Sith troopers. And then you have like a dark side civil war going on, except it wouldn't be dark side on both sides, obviously. And so, yeah, you have all of those child soldiers that the First Order had stolen from their parents and brainwashed, snap out of it thanks to whatever, you know, gave them that, you know, that catalyst for that reaction. And then they help the resistance to, you know, fight the First Order, or the Final Order, as it were, on Exegol. I think that would have been a great story arc for Finn's character. And then we would have had that, we could have had that scene that we did have where he and Naomi Ackie, Jaina, right? Yeah. Where he and Jaina are, you know, blowing up the control tower at the last second, and it looks like they're both going to have to sacrifice themselves when a bunch of stormtroopers show up and, you know, surround them and then take off their helmets and they're like, we're with you. And they help them escape, you know, and could complete his story arc of bringing together all the former child soldiers who realize they don't have to do that anymore for the First Order. But we didn't get that. Now, we could at some point in the future. We were talking about how Star Wars movies need to move on. A story about Finn doing a Stormtrooper rebellion could be a great movie.
It would take a lot of money and a lot of convincing to get John Boyega back at this point.
It would. But, you know, he seems to shout out to Around the Galaxy and Tatooine Sons podcast. They talk about this on Twitter frequently. John seems to change his mind relatively often about whether or not he would come back to Star Wars. So when he's always out promoting his next movie, somebody always has to ask him, so would you ever do Star Wars again? And like, you can go back and read interviews from this or that premiere where sometimes he's all, never, they're a bunch of, you know, whatevers. And then sometimes he's like, hey, you know, if the story was right, which as Derek indicated really means if the pay was right, he would come back and do it. So he's not 100% against it. Heck, if we live in a world where Harrison Ford came back to Star Wars. If that's
twice,
possible, sure. Anything's possible.
Granted, I think one of those was out of respect for Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, I agree.
But it did happen.
It did happen, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the big thing with what Boyega brings up is just, to me, this is always going to be kind of the hanging plot line of the craziness of the Skywalker trilogy. The thing that I think all fans, for the most part, can agree upon is the lack of real true cohesion between those three films, and the fact that there were so many different cans in the pot during the making of those three films really hurt the ability to tell a cohesive story and to be able to have like A and B plots and these side plots like a Stormtrooper rebellion and things like that, that could have made things much more interesting and fleshed out things a little better. But what's done is done. What I hope is that somewhere down the line, if we are going to revisit anything, that would be actually be a very cool story to revisit. But I'm hoping that the lesson is learned here that going forward, we don't need trilogies each time. We need more single films. Now, there might be plot points that carry over, but almost make it like it's episodic television, except you're getting it in films. So there's
or put it on TV.
I think there's a place where we're getting to a point where the longer Star Wars is not on the big screen, it's going to start hurting it, because in the aspect of it's not going to have that same, when a Star Wars movie hits the big screen, it's not going to be that epic feel, because there are people like, oh, so why is it there? Why is it not on my Disney Plus? Where with Marvel, because they've never really stopped either way, a Marvel movie still feels a little bit like an event. And there's still something to that.
Yeah, but I feel like that's getting burned out, though, too, to what we talked about earlier, right? So mm-hmm. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that Star Wars can't have that more better moment, to your point, right? But let's be honest. We've gotten about 20 years between each trilogy. So if it's another 20 years between the next trilogy after this, so that is what it is, right? Maybe,
yeah. So I agree with John here that, especially in the last movie, his character could have had a bit more growth.
I have something to tell you. We never hear it about again.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
they're really pushing it on the Lego Star Wars, though.
They are pushing that, but that's not really what I'm talking about. I feel like with 7 and 8, we still have the opportunity to have a cohesive story overall. And Stormtrooper Rebellion could really have played into that. But where I think it really needed to happen was at the start of the movie, because 8 left us off with the Resistance has been decimated, more than decimated, technically.
yes. But,
yeah, there's very few people 30 left.
30 people.
And they need to rebuild. And I think the first thing we should have seen in episode 9 was Finn, who has now learned that we win by fighting for what we love, and has joined the Resistance instead of just being out for himself. Seeing him lead the charge to rescue people from the First Order, including brainwashed stormtroopers, and getting them to defect and join the Resistance. And then that gives him character growth and explains how we suddenly have more Resistance people to begin with, because Finn's out there getting people to join the cause. Yeah. That's what I would have liked to have seen.
And you want to know why they should do that on a Disney Plus series? Because someone's already done that. And I will give you, because it was perfect timing of what it popped up today on my YouTube feed. But the perfect is Deep Space Nine and when Cardassians turn on the Dominion. That is the perfect, perfect story and example of what they could have done with that. Yeah, where, you know, that would have been, to me, a perfect way of being able to do that with a series and pay John Boyega a ton of money. And they could still make that happen at this point, but, you know.
They could, yeah, set it between 8 and 9.
So or what we could have done, too, is instead of sending John Boyega to the Vegas planet, we could have had him out looking for help and coming across some defective stormtroopers.
Well, no, because the reason I say no to that is because at that point, he has not yet grown to having really joined the Resistance. He's still out for himself at that point. His main goal is get it to where me and Ray can escape from this whole First Order situation. And I'm not right. He didn't really care about fighting against them or joining the Resistance at that time.
Yeah. His experience with Rose on Canto Bite helped him realize this is about more than just me. And it's about more than just me and Ray.
Yeah. But either way, they've done it before and it's done perfectly. Because I think some of us agree that DS9 is some of the most perfect writing they've ever done in sci-fi. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, lesson learned that they could still do it, make it happen, but, you know, it's already there. So,
yeah. But John makes an interesting and almost contradictory point here about how he wanted the original trilogy characters to have a bit more time in the development in the sequel trilogy. And that's a lot of characters to juggle, because you've got the three original heroes plus Chewbacca, who actually is a hero in the sequel trilogy as well. Mm-hmm. And then you also have and the droids. And then you also have Rey and Poe and Finn and then Rose and BB-8, all the new characters too. That's part of the problem with the sequel trilogy is they just didn't have enough time to devote to
Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough time and they didn't have enough collaboration between creators.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and the bad part too is they did it with the villains as well. I mean, mm-hmm. you go from Kyle to Snoke to the Emperor, and it's, you know, it's just like too much of that, right? So
and yeah. so you got interesting new characters like Captain Phasma and Hux get left in the dust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hux should have had a much I know he had an important role in that he was I am the spy.
It would be cool if they would have called him Fulcrum.
Oh, that yeah.
would have been cool. Nice. Yeah. But I think it also would have been cool if he had just stayed a bad guy and been like, look, our supreme leader is crazy and we've got to, you know, take control of the First Order and have, as Scott pointed out, dark side on dark side action of,
yeah,
you know, does the supreme leader have the support of the First Order? And that kind of sort of happened. But it could have been done better.
Anyways, so there's still hope out there that they could always do something. Again, there's a lot of opportunity with the streaming services and stuff. And I think that, like I said, with the right money and with the right story, they can obviously get John to come back. So, which would be cool. Well, I agree with you. It's a character that was lost potential, or I should say untapped potential.
And how much do we love the prequels now because of what's happened in the Clone Wars? How much has the Clone Wars
made
the prequels?
Yeah. Yeah.
The same thing can happen with the sequels.
Yeah. The Clone Wars redeemed the prequel trilogy.
Well, I'm fully expecting the Mando and Ahsoka series and everything else leading into it that will get tidbits of Luke Skywalker and finally understand what happened to Luke. It may not be a series by itself. I feel like that'll be the common link thread throughout all the live action Mando series that's going to happen, that Luke will have some tidbits in all of these, and that's where you'll see his downfall.
Yeah, and we're already starting to see it. You know, his appearance in Mandalorian season 2 is pretty much exactly what Luke in The Last Jedi said he had done. He bought into his own hype of being Luke Skywalker Jedi Master.
Yep, and then you got it in Book of Boba, right? When we got the whole Mando season 2.5 there. So
and there he's repeating the whole, you know, you can't have attachments. You know, you must choose between Mando Daddy or our academy. Yeah.
Yeah. And Ahsoka's, you know, telling him a bit about, you know, how she reminds him of his father. And it's crazy how it leads to it, right? So
and that's what scares me, as said Owen Lars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's about hubris and how we as humans get that way whenever things are going great, we tend to be like, well, it's because I'm so great. But no, it's because the force is using you, not you using the force. That's the balance there. You don't use the force uses you. All right, sorry. We're going to get way off track here.
I was going to say, but you know what's great, Scott, is all the great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network.
That's right. And we're not going to be filled with hubris because if you like our show, we want you to keep listening to it. And even if you don't like our show, there's probably somebody out there on the FPN that you do like. So let's hear about them in this awesome promo.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Wow, that was awesome stuff. Thank you very much, Kevin. All right, well, Kyle, you got to do something pretty awesome yourself this weekend to go see Star Wars Rogue One, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, on the big, big screen in IMAX. So first of all, how was it in IMAX?
It was amazing in IMAX. I know it was in IMAX, at least limited, I believe, the first time around when it initially came out in 2016, which, gosh, 2016 seems like forever ago now.
But, I mean, it kind of was like a whole lifetime ago, but anyway.
Yeah. No, it was, as far as the movie itself, it was amazing to see it on that IMAX screen. And I'll be honest with you, Rogue One has slowly been climbing up my Star Wars list of where it ranks pretty high. I think after watching it on the IMAX screen and just catching so many little things I didn't catch the first time with other viewings, being on a TV or whatever, and just being able to be in a theater environment and focus on the movie itself, it's officially up in my top three, and it might be about to push it into number two. So,
wow. So what would be your number one on that list? If Rogue One becomes number two, what's still holding fast at number one?
Empire.
It's going to be the holiday special.
I would say, as far as the movies go, Empire is still number one, New Hope is number two, but Rogue One is definitely in there at number three at this point. The cast is just so brilliant, and it's one of the best written Star Wars stories. And what I love about it so much is what we talk about. We have the Force, but we don't deal with Jedi. We're not dealing with necessarily with the dark side or light side of the Force, but we still have the Empire. We still have the Rebellion. We have a lot of the things that make Star Wars, Star Wars, but you're not getting that one aspect of it completely dominating the storyline. And I think that's what works. And the characters are so memorable, and, you know, just across the board, it's just a great cast. And I picked up on so many little things that I had either forgotten about or just never really caught on, because I'm able to see it on that large IMAX screen. And with that sound system, you pick up little things that are said that you might not catch the first time around. And I'm going to be honest, and I said I was going to talk about this. I miss Star Wars on the movie screen. I miss seeing Star Wars on the big screen. And it's one of the things, as much as I love Mandalorian, I love the Disney Plus stuff, Star Wars, there's an aspect of Star Wars that needs to be in the movie theater environment. It needs to be on that big screen. It needs to feel epic. It needs to have that feeling of where you're in a theater where you can get completely immersed in it. I would have loved to have seen the Kenobi finale on the big screen, that fight between Kenobi and Darth Vader. And it's something I hope that Disney and Lucasfilm get figured out here and figure out what they want to do and what direction to go with movies, because we do need Star Wars movies back on the big screen.
So, Cal, for those of us who were alive in the 20th century, cinema is the major entertainment format. But for my kids who were not alive in the 20th century, cinema isn't as big a part of their life. Do you think that overall societal shift to the small screen, and then, of course, to the unbelievably even smaller screen, and then eventually to the virtual reality screen, will mean that movies will not be as big a part of the bottom line for companies like Disney in the future? Or do you think we're headed toward a cinema renaissance?
I think, and you brought up this point, and this is something I've been thinking a lot about, because I'm the digital guy. I everything is streaming. I don't have my physical media. But the thing I've always thought that was special about the movie theater experience compared to watching something at home or on streaming or something like that is you are fully engulfed and wrapped up in what it's in front of you. And until I think movies get into more of a virtual reality setting, And who knows where we're going with that? That's so convoluted at this point. We don't really know where you're, again, you're in a way engulfed in the movie in virtual reality. You're right there. I think that the theater experience is going to come back somewhat, because I think people want to have one, they want to have that social interaction of a theater, getting out of that theater, talking to your friends as you're walking out, not just, oh, calling somebody up or texting somebody as soon as you're done streaming something. And two, again, but where I think it's what we're going to see with the theater is it's going to be more of the epic films, the films like they that really feel like they should be on the big screen. Certain Marvel films, and the Avatar films as they come out, Star Wars films, these big epic scale films, whether they're big with special effects like a Jurassic World or Star Wars or a Marvel, or just something about them that feels like an epic thing, like let's say Braveheart or Kingdom of Heaven or things like that. Those are going to kind of be the kind of films we're going to see on the big screen and in these IMAXs. And then you're going to see these other projects come more to the streaming and be pushed that way. I think one of the things too, and I think this is why I actually read a very interesting article about this, how they're saying Marvel is the key to the comeback of theaters. It's like, it's on Marvel right now because they're the only thing that has big blockbuster movies planned out. But Scott, and you brought this up earlier, with the success of Top Gun Maverick, I think there is a market for people to have that blockbuster summer type film that isn't a genre film. And I think that's something that's going to make a comeback, because I do think we are getting to the point of maximum saturation of the science fiction, comic book, fantasy bubble here. I mean, when we look even just on, we have Game of Thrones that just started back up. We have the Rings of Power series coming back up. People, I think, we're hitting that saturation point of it, and people want something different. And I think Top Gun Maverick is a big show of that, is that, hey, we want something a little different. We need a little more variety than what we've been getting of late. So I think that's what's going to be happening there. But again, in this case, the theater I went to wasn't that packed. And from what I've gathered, though, it's made decent money. But I think I think people do want to see Star Wars on the big screen. I really think, especially the generation that's of our age, who really are still the ones who are given the money to it, they are going to go to the theater and watch it. And I think we're still going to introduce our kids and our nieces or nephews, whatever, to seeing Star Wars on the big screen. And I think that's why it's so important that we get another Star Wars on the big screen in one fashion or another within the next couple of years, something new, so we can start growing that generation so they're experiencing it that way. Mm-hmm. But in this case, too, there's extra incentive to go see Rogue One on IMAX. And from what I've seen on Fandango and a few other places, it's going to go through Wednesday of this week. And today we're recording. It's August 28th. So it's going to go through at least next Wednesday. They are before Rogue One starts, they are previewing the Andor series. And there's three things. They show the trailer that we just saw recently that was on Good Morning America. They have an interview with Tony Gilroy and Diego Luna talking about the show and talking about how it's all practical where they filmed. You're not going to see a bunch of Easter eggs per se, because they're keeping this real. They want to keep it with the same feeling that Rogue One had, where, you know, it's a little bit, they use the word real, both of them, a lot in this interview. And so I found that very intriguing. And I think it means that, you know, Andor is going to have a different feel and different look than I think anything we've seen on Disney Plus Star Wars related to this point. And I think it's going to be a good thing. I think it's going to be, as much as I think the volume is a wonderful piece of technology, I think getting more practical in their filming locations is really going to make Andor something that much more special. Then we got about a 5-minute scene from Andor where he's meeting Stellan Skarsgård's character for the first time. And he's kind of giving him some bat, and he's trying to recruit him officially into the rebellion. And then it turns into a blaster fight between this like patrol that we've never really seen before. It's not stormtroopers, but they're people who definitely work for the Empire. And they're in this warehouse and they're shooting, and they keep breaking the chains that are holding up these heavy pieces of equipment and stuff. So you got all this equipment swinging around and they're having this blaster fight. It's a really well done action sequence. And then from that, it leads in back into the Andor trailer. But seeing that and then watching Rogue One in that theater experience, I am so hyped for Andor right now. I cannot wait for it to come out. And again, cool. It really just raised my again, I think Rogue One, as far as if you look at Disney era Star Wars, it's the best film that Disney has been done under the Disney mantle. And I have no question about it. And like I said, it's moved up into my top three, and it's locked there. It's going to take something pretty special in the theaters to knock Rogue One out of my top three at this point.
Awesome. That fight scene in the warehouse with the Imperial operatives, that sounds really cool. I can't wait to see that.
It was very cool, and there's a great – the conversation between Cassian Andor and Stellan Skarsgård's characters is very interesting too, and it's very interesting. It's going to be a different empire than I think we've ever seen. I really think we're going to see a side of the empire we've never seen, and just seeing the nitty-gritty side of the rebellion, which we got hinted at in Rogue One, even more so here. So, and Gilroy has said it's going to be a two-season series, and he's covering like the 5 years leading up to the events of Rogue One. So,
well, if you've got Saw Gerrera in the picture, and you do, it's going to be gritty because it's going to be him and the Partisan guys. So they're way more serious about what they got to do because they're all, not all, but a lot of them are grizzled Clone Wars veterans. So, you know, they cut their teeth fighting the Separatists. So now they're like, well, you know, if we have to rebel against the Empire as well.
And, but I just want to say too, if you have the time between now and Wednesday and you can, grab your kids, grab some friends, go see Rogue One on IMAX if you have it near you, or even if it's a half an hour, 45-minute drive, it's worth it. It's a great film to revisit, and it's going to make you reappreciate Star Wars on the big screen in wonderful ways, and it's going to make you realize what Star Wars is when it's at its finest.
Cool. All right, I asked questions. Nathan, Derek, you guys got questions about the Andor sneak peek you want to ask or anything related to it?
So those Imperials who aren't stormtroopers, do you think they're local police, or do you have any other speculation on?
I think like a local Empire police, yeah, where they've taken locals and empowered them. As Kevin and I talked about off mic before this, there's going to be a lot of new cosplay to come out of Andor.
Oh, cool.
So we're looking at a lot of new cosplay, I think, coming out of Andor with some new uniforms and things of that nature. So, yeah, but it looks like it's kind of maybe like local empowered police by the Empire, but they're not
local governors,
not stormtroopers. But they're probably, at least from what I saw, maybe a little bit better shot than stormtroopers.
So. All right, I wasn't a stormtrooper.
I need you to do a cosplay so that I can walk around as Dave Filoni giving you directions at Dragon Con.
I'm in.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously, you know, Kyle, you and I have been super excited for this series. And like I said, it just has me more hyped, and I'm just saddened because it should have been out a week ago, but we still have to wait another 4 more weeks at this point. But I'm okay with that. I mean, obviously, my biggest fear, though, is that I'm hyping myself up too much, because that always happens, right, guys, when we hype ourselves up too much and it doesn't deliver. But I feel like this is back to what Rogue One was when I was excited for it, and that 100% delivered. So if it's got that same feel, and obviously we have some of that same cast and some of that similar, I mean, it'd be great if Gareth Edwards gets an opportunity to direct an episode. I think that would be awesome, but I haven't seen anything attached to him for that, which kind of makes me sad.
It makes me sad a little bit too, but I don't think there's going to be that. And I have a feeling before we're done, we're going to get a lot more information about what happened way back then behind the scenes with Gareth Edwards and Rogue One, because it seems like it's Tony Gilroy running the show completely now. And it definitely has that feel. I was going to say too, even if you can't get to the IMAX before Andor comes out, rewatch Rogue One, because you need to get in the mindset of how Rogue One was, I think, before you watch Andor, because it's something different even than The Mandalorian or Book of Boba Fett or Obi-Wan or anything else we've got. It's very unique, and seeing it on IMAX reminded me of that. And I think it's very important that you watch Rogue One and get yourself into that mindset of how that film was done and what that film was about before you watch Andor.
Oh, don't worry. I watch at least twice, or if not three times a year. So I'm with you, Kyle. I don't know if it'll ever replace the top three original, just because of the childhood memories it brings. Right. But when you're talking about story in itself, it probably does compel enough to be Empire Strikes Back level.
That oh yeah, I think story wise. Yeah, I think if you could put that all, if you put the childhood, the memory influence on it, and you just go by strictly the quality of the movie, I think it's right there with Star, with A New Hope, and with Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, speaking of quality stuff, one of the major quality ingredients in any Star Wars production is the music. So we urge you all, if you've enjoyed this episode, to look through our feed and check out the YouTubes for our one musical moment that we're going to do here in just a few minutes. And Nathan's going to give you one real quick synopsis of how and why we're doing that once again.
Yes, we're doing this in conjunction with Nando V Movies. So this is part of a whole group of content creators who are each creating one musical scene, going deep into what makes the music for a particular scene impactful, why it was used, how it was used, who created it, all that sort of thing. So we're excited to talk about Star Wars music. Please do go check out the whole playlist. You can go to Nando V Movies, their YouTube channel, and see the whole playlist and get a lot of great content there. So check it out, not just ours, but everybody's.
Yeah, and we also want you to check out what Star Wars t-shirts we're wearing this week, because we know this is Derek's favorite part of the show. Kyle, as our special guest, what Star Wars t-shirt do you have on this episode?
I am wearing a shadowed BB-8, like he's the kind of like he's shaped out in the Tatooine Suns, and within that shadow you see Rey and some TIE fighters in there. It's one of my favorite shirts, actually. I've had this for a good while, but
yeah, that's awesome.
An evaporator.
Yeah, it's okay. Hey, the moisture evaporator. So they're a key part of Star Wars, man. But nothing's more important than a good evaporator, except maybe a working hyperdrive, but you know.
Good times. And I love the desert color scheme that it has, too, to further emphasize that point with basically hanging out on Jakku.
Well, just remember, if there wasn't a broken evaporator on the Lars moisture farm, then they would have never needed the C-3PO and R2-D2 from the Jawas. And therefore, the stormtroopers would have found the droids they were looking for.
And Luke would have went to Tosche Station to get the power converters.
And he might have signed up for the Imperial Academy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The Force works in mysterious ways, guys, and R2-D2 has always been open to letting the Force use him. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Greatest unsung hero.
That's right. Hero of 1,000 devices. Derek, what Star Wars t-shirt are you wearing this episode?
Since we were talking a little D23 and Sabine, and I don't have a shirt yet for her, but I'm super excited because you guys all know my love for T-Turtle. And when we get Sabine coming on Ahsoka, I'm sure I'll be able to get some of those. But in the meantime, I've got my Ahsoka shirt.
Yes, it is cute.
Very nice.
With the two twin white lightsabers.
Yes. So adult Ahsoka, as we like to call her.
Right. Yes. Nathan, what Star Wars t-shirt are you wearing this week?
Well, you should beware of Wookiee.
Yes.
My hazard sign shirt. Anywhere you go, make sure that there's not a Wookiee prepared to rip your arms out. And, you know, just if you do see a Wookiee, let him win. It's all you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And beware of wet Wookiees, because that smell of wet Wookiee fur. Ooh, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I got that. That second order for Breeze came in, Scott.
Ah, excellent. Amazon on-demand shipping. Amazon is so great.
2-day delivery next day.
Yes. All right. And I am wearing, because we were talking a little professional wrestling off mic before this episode began, I am wearing my WrestleMania 2 shirt, a tribute to Sam Wessel. One of my favorite parts of Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. But this shirt is done in such a way as to be a spoof of the WrestleMania 6 shirt that WWE has sold for many, many years now. So it's got a very 80s flair to it with the grid background and the pink and green psychedelic colors.
It's very Tron-y.
Yes, very much like Tron. Yes, absolutely. Well, if you want to get a cool Star Wars-inspired shirt of your own, you can get a What a Piece of Junk t-shirt at our TeePublic store. Just go on over to teepublic.com and check out Fandom Podcast Network in the search bar. And you can also find mice pads and coffee mugs, iPad cases. And it's not just for our show, but all kinds of other shows on the FPN. Isn't that right, Kyle?
Oh, we got all the shows covered on TeePublic. You can either search for it by TeePublic, by Fandom Podcast Network, or if you know what show you're looking for, search for the name of that show. We got it. The search engines all over the place on TeePublic.
Awesome sauce. All right. Well, Derek, let the folks know where they can find us out there on the internet, please.
So, yeah, the big thing is obviously going to the master feed, which is on fpnet.podbean.com, which is the Podbean master. Then you can obviously search us for Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play. Even, I think, Kyle Wright, SiriusXM, right? We've popped up on there a few times before.
So. I don't know about SiriusXM, but I think I finagled with some Amazon since the last time I was on.
Amazon. Okay. So we got Amazon. So good stuff. But pretty much anywhere where you can listen to podcasts, you can pretty much find us. So you want to search for What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, or any of the cool titles that were out there, you know, themes and stuff like, you know, obviously we've got the one musical moment in our header this week. We obviously any of the news that's coming out when you search for Star Wars related topics, hopefully will pop up because obviously as Nathan's going to talk to us about that here in a minute about those podcast reviews. But before that, we want to make sure you know where to find us. So on the Facebook group, it's What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, which I oversee and run. And then you have the email, which is What a Piece of Junk pod@gmail.com that Scott answers for. The Twitter is @WhatWars that Scott also manages. And then on Instagram, the Fandom Podcast Network. So as I mentioned, Nathan, what about those podcast reviews?
Well, we love to see those podcast reviews. That helps other people find us. It helps spread the word so that everybody can enjoy What a Piece of Junk. And it also helps keep the Wookiees away from us. We are taking the advice of my shirt and being aware of Wookiees. If we don't get those podcast reviews, they may just come rip our arms off. So please, please give us podcast reviews, whatever you feel is appropriate. But we like the 5 stars. Honestly, we do.
I don't know if it's good to tell people that they might rip our arms off. The listeners might actually want to see that. I'm just.
I mean, they would rip our arms off camera.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
They'll just be a pile of stumps.
If you want to see them come on the YouTube channel.
if you want to see them rip off our arms, you got to post a comment.
Put that in the note on the review.
Oh boy.
Okay. There's a reason why you call the ship the Drunken Gungan, apparently.
Yes. All right. Well,
hey, I was going to say if Jackass can make billions of dollars off doing stuff, why can't we?
hey, Scott, I do have one more Star Wars related thing, real quick. If you're interested, the actress who is going to be playing Sabine Wren in live action on Ahsoka is in the new movie on Netflix, Day Shift, starring Jamie Foxx and Snoop Dogg. It's a crazy movie, but she is in it. So if you haven't had any experience with her, check that movie out. She's actually very interesting in it.
Okay, good to know.
You say it was Day Shift?
Day Shift.
Day Shift. I was imagining a science fiction thing of a day shift.
Thinking more of think Jamie Foxx and Vampires. Snoop Dogg is vampire hunters.
All right, I can get behind that.
Okay, yeah, all right, that's a cool idea. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us on this episode. Special thanks to special guest Kyle for dropping into the cockpit of the Drunken Gungan. And so to all of our listeners out there, if you have any thoughts or comments or suggestions, please hit us up between shows. And please always remember to respect each other and respect each other's fandom. All right, Nathan, punch it.